are listening to Urban Conversation. This is your host, Legel Marie. I also have my amazing co-host, Manuel Hill. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. You have your drink with you? I'm drinking cranberry juice tonight. What are you drinking, Manuel?
Why do you always start off by asking, what am I drinking? I got a little something in the glass with some ice.
That's why I ask you, because I know you have something in your glass.
Yeah, it's the evening, you know what I'm saying? It's cocktail hour. I've got me a little what's this stuff called? Freeze some vodka.
Okay, well, I have my cranberry juice and I'm relaxed, so we're both good.
Put some vodka in there. Put something in there. Yeah. Do that.
Okay. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm more of a wine drinker, so I'm gonna have to make sure that I have a glass of wine when we do the show, just to kind of loosen up. So we haven't spoken for about a week because the last show you weren't on. So what's been going on with you? Anything exciting this past week or two?
Anything exciting? No, not so much. I don't think anything exciting. No, I can't say so. I mean, you know, Easter weekend came up, so dinner with the kids, that's always fun. Their spring break is coming up next week, so that's gonna be a damn riot. But nothing extraordinary, nothing ridiculous, you know.
Right. And that is true. Today is some people say Easter, some say Resurrection Sunday. So for those of you who celebrate, I do. Happy Resurrection Day to everyone. So, Mama, you know that people who haven't been in church for probably the good part of this year, you know how everybody shows up. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody shows up, in their new Easter gear on church on Sunday when it's Easter Sunday or Christmas or whatever. So, we know that the churches were packed today. No offense to anybody.
I was one of those that didn't. See, I think in the last 2 years, I can't even count on one hand how many times I've been in church. But no, I didn't show up for my Easter. So, yeah, I'm a heathen, so it's like
you are a heathen. I still love you though, but you embrace your heathenness.
I might as well.
Yes, because you know the Bible says it's better to be cold or hot. Never be don't be lukewarm about it. So So we're glad to. I'm glad that I know which side of the fence that you're on.
I still have my roots. I still have my, my Christian roots. I know my upbringing. The standards, some of the morals and everything else.
Absolutely. And I'm the last person to condemn anybody for not stepping in the building, because we are the church, and we need to get back to the realization of that anyway. That God is not just existing in a building. It's us, but that's a whole other topic. We can go there, because I kind of feel that.
Well, you know what? That's going to actually be one part of the topic that I get in on, as far as how to recognize what we're doing, how to recognize the player. You know what I'm saying?
We are talking about exposing the player mentality, and I know you have a lot to say on that. But we're not gonna get in that just now. I wanted to know, what is the last update you heard about Bobby Christina? Now this is Bobby Brown and the late Whitney Houston's daughter.
I haven't heard anything lately. I don't remember.
Do we even know, is she still alive? So if someone knows any updates, post it on our open forum page. That's Urban Conversation Radio on Facebook. You can find us and let us know. I was wondering, because, it was in the news a lot, and then I didn't hear anything else about it. So I'm assuming she's still alive, right?
I hadn't heard that they pulled the plug. That's one thing. I definitely didn't hear that.
Okay. And here's another one, Manuel. I didn't know this, and maybe you did, because I actually was following the story, and it's so heartbreaking. I know you know about the murders in Kenya, 148 students. What was it, the Garissa University? I don't even know. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. I know the spelling, but did you know that there was one survivor?
No, I didn't. I thought they didn't have any survivors at all.
There was one survivor. She, out of the 148 that were murdered, there was a survivor. Her name was Cynthia, 19 years old. It said that she hid in a large cup, I guess like a cabinet sort of thing, covered with clothes, and that's how she survived. There was actually students where she was, and when the attackers came and called everybody out, she remained hidden in this spot, and they found her.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that, but it helps to read and keep updated with that, because it is sad, because 148 students, but I can only imagine being the survivor of something like that. So
yeah, exactly, the lone survivor of that.
Yeah. They said that even when the police and rescuers finally did come and were I guess going through the bodies and going through the college, she initially didn't come out when they were, calling for survivors, which I probably still would have been in there. And I'm not making a joke. I'm just saying I don't think I would have came out for anybody at that point. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We got to keep them in our prayers, as well as Bobby Christina. Hopefully she's getting better and somebody can give us an update on that. So anyway, we are getting into this topic. Now, first of all, are they still called players? I mean, is there a new word that's been established? Are we still calling people that, play these little – are we still calling them players?
I think so. I think so for the most part. But what is a player now? I mean, is that the dude that – I've heard crazy stories. There was something not too long ago where – and some things are just ridiculous to me. Some guy, I read online that he had somehow convinced, like, 8 different women that they were all the only woman that he was – I mean, first of all
– Wait, he had 8 different women, and all 8 women thought that they were the only one?
Thought they were the only one. And this is my thinking.
Hmm.
It has to be a whole lot of damn work to have 8. I mean, because I played the game myself, so I'm just imagining 2.
Right.
But 8 different women. So I'm assuming that for there to be 8 women that are really convinced that they're the only woman, either his lie is so ultimately elaborate that he needs to be writing movies or something. He needs to do something else creative with his mind. Or he's dealing with 8 dummies. It's one or the other, because 8 women, I just don't believe that 8 fully functional women with all their faculties are going to not realize that something is going on.
That's excessive. And okay, but let me say this. This is what I would say a player is, whether it's, because we know that it's not gender based, so we know women are doing it too. We are no respecter of gender on this show. Everybody gets it. So, but I would say that a player is different from just being a cheater. To me, a player is someone who is, of course, is a cheater, but someone who is purposely setting out to play these mental and emotional games with someone.
Absolutely.
Versus being in a relationship and then you just, smoke on the stupid pipe and you decide that you're going to cheat. This is someone who already has their mindset that they're not going to be transparent with the person that they're dealing with. They have no intention of having a monogamous relationship. They have no intention of, establishing any true commitment. So to me, that's what a player is. I mean, literally, they're playing games. So before we break all that other stuff down, I want to know what are some of the, you know, what are some of the mentality traits of someone that, you know, plays those type of games? You know, describe to me the type of individual, whether it's a male or female, that, you know, seems to be the type that does that.
Well, one on both sides is the thrill of the chase and the thrill of being chased. You know, I mean, sometimes for women, it's the thrill of having multiple guys after them at one time, and then knowing that all of these guys at any given moment she can lock them down, but she's not. She's embracing the fact that, okay, I reeled them in, they're into me, they're digging me, they're ready to give me everything. And then now I'm on to the next dude, but I'm going to leave this other dude lingering because I want more than one of those guys at the same time. And for the men, it's the same thing. It's the thrill of the chase, locked on. I got this one. She's feeling me. She's digging me. Okay, now I got her where I want her. Let me get the other one where I want her to, and then let me get another one where I want her. So that's one of the traits.
This is Sparta!
I'm sorry, because if you said a thrill, it's like, you know, like conquering, like this need to conquer, right? And I mean, is that what you're saying? Basically, the thrill is from, you know, seeing how many people that you can, conquer.
It's a conquest. It's like colonization. You know, you feel like the more you have, or at least more than one. Truthfully, you can only be stretched so many ways. But sometimes it's just that comfort of having more than one. And you set out to be sure that, you know, you're going to have more than one, but you're not letting anybody know that you're going to have more than one. Because those are the players. That's the one that's playing the game. Now, for lack of a better term, a pimp lets it be known up front. Listen, it's going to be you and it's going to be somebody else. That's not a player. He's putting it out there. That's the person letting you know what it is.
Yeah,
male or female.
Right. We don't want to talk about no pimps, though.
No, but that's just the mentality, because with them, everything is up front. There is no – now, they know how to sweet talk you into it. You can be manipulated into it. But for the player, it's a game. It everything looks one way, and then it's something else.
I think that anyone who partakes in that type of lifestyle, because for a lot of people it is, I think for one, they're selfish. I think that there's a deep-seated insecurity. I think that individuals who harbor unforgiveness and who have turned bitter definitely become susceptible to that. And it's also a mental and emotional immaturity that's attached to that mentality. And, you know, when you're dealing with, because, you know, you really have to be, and we know that maturity is not attached to a particular age. You have people that are, you know, 40, still playing these type of games. And so I want to get into, you know, because a lot of times people say, oh, you know, I thought I was the only one. And, you know, we could say, oh, you have to look at the actions of the person. Don't just look at the words. But, you know, players, they know how to put the actions with it as well, which is how,
absolutely,
how they get you is that they're not just saying all the right stuff. They're also putting the actions to it. So when the actions are matching up with the words, what are some of the, you know, how can you tell that you're dealing with someone who has no intention of making you number one or being only with you? Let's talk about that.
Well, this is the thing. Okay, I'll be honest. It depends, because if you're dealing with a person that is a master of manipulation, you're basically talking about somebody who borders on the line with the devil. So if you're talking about somebody who masters in manipulation, you may never know. I mean, let's just be real. In that situation, the only thing that I can tell women is rely on intuition. And for men, don't let your ego fool you, because our egos interfere with our intuition, and a woman's heart will interfere with her intuition. So sometimes the only thing that you might have at the end of the day is that gut feeling that something is right about what this person is doing is saying it looks good, it smells good, it kind of feels good, but it's just not, it's just not right. So if all else fails, intuition never fails. It really doesn't. But
you know, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, good intuition, when you have a solid discernment, it won't fail you. But a lot of times people are not really tapped into that. And there's a book of reasons why people, you know, don't really have, you know, their instincts are off, you know, in the sense that they couldn't tell if you were playing a game with them, if you were writing it on a board. So, I mean, and if that were the case, you would hear so many people who have so many stories of being taken through. But on the flip side, also, you know, ignoring those signs. But if the person is just great and being wonderful and awesome, you know, it has to be hard to tell, you know, how, when someone is, you know, literally just, you know, kind of being playing Prince Charming and at the same time, you know.
I mean, sometimes it's not, because I've even made that mistake. I've made the mistake of, you know, a woman that has the gifts of gab, because I have that. But I've come across women that...
You do have that, Marlon. You do.
But I've come across women that have been just as versed, if not more so than me, and I'm like, whoa, she kind of slick with it, you know. Sometimes that is just personality, but it can also be a gift that a person uses for all the wrong reasons. So you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt. But then again, that's where you go with the action. Sometimes actions line up, but a person can't keep up a lie forever. You know, they can't keep playing the game forever. They're going to slip. A person is going to slip. They're going to fall short at some point. I just think you have to I don't want to tell people not to trust people, but giving a person the benefit of the doubt and then giving them unlimited trust to the point where you're blind is two totally different things. Because if I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, I'm taking what you say as what it is, and I'm just going to say, okay, cool, that's what you say, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt based on that. I'm not going to assume that you're lying. But when I see something that conflicts with what you said, then I'm going to be like, hey, what's going on with this? And your answer is going to determine everything. And a lot of times with us men, if we don't have a real viable explanation, there is none. And we don't need 24 or 48 hours to come up with a viable explanation. Because if we took 24 or 48 hours, we finally concocted a story that's going to make sense enough to you, to us, to where we can get away with it. So in an instant, you can call a dude on his shit. And if we have an explanation right then and there, that chances are that's what it is. But if we need to take a Twix moment, nah, it's a wrap. You know, hey, you got something right there.
You know,
you got a target.
Backing up to, you know, the trust factor, I definitely would rather be, it's hard because I'm a very trusting person. I literally, what you tell me, I'm going to believe it until you show me otherwise. Exactly.
And so
I don't, you know, to me, it's not, I don't have to work hard at, you know, if I, you know, get into a conversation with someone and they're saying, hey, you know, I went on a safari to Africa and da da da, you know, I don't have the energy or the desire to try to dissect everyone's, you know, story and life. So I'm basically, and not in a gullible sense, but in the sense that I'm going to take what you're saying for truth. And then when I see that you're just, you know, a storyteller, you know, I might encourage you, me being a writer, I might say, hey, you know, you could have, you know, I know that you're a liar, but you may be good at, you know, being a writer since you're so good at making it up, you know, from one writer to the, you know, I appreciate a creative mind. So I don't really, but getting into relationships, we do have to, you know, have those instincts tuned up and really, really fine-tuned when you're in a situation where you're potentially going to give your heart to somebody. And, you know, and I would like to say that, if, you know, like you kind of pointed out as well, if it's too good, if the person is just being overly complimentary, overly sweet, and this is
exactly
male or female.
And then
being, you know, the process of their feelings is being unnaturally unrealistic. You know, like, we met once, and then the next message you get, oh, I'm falling in love with you. Wait, what? Like,
exactly.
You may feel like, oh, you're such an amazing person, and you could be, but, you know, you have to look at all of that, like, wait a minute, like, what are you falling for? You know, what do you know about me to be falling for me? Because sometimes people use that to try to pull you into their trap.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, because you know, it strokes the ego. It's like, oh, you falling for me, baby? You know, and then you feel like you have the upper hand, when in reality, you don't. They don't have any emotional connect to you, but now you're thinking about them 24/7 because you think, oh, they're falling for me, you know?
Absolutely. Now, one thing you said earlier was sometimes people have this bitterness in them. You know, one of my favorite quotes is that hurt people hurt people. You know, and it's not that they, and sometimes they intend to, and sometimes they don't intend to. They just naturally just going about it the way they're going about it, and they just have no regard of anybody else. It's like there's going to be a wake of destruction in their path until they get to where they want to get to, and they have no regard for who's in that wake of destruction, men and women. So men oftentimes in that case, you know, let's just say he came out of a relationship, you know, the woman played him, you know, he was actually the fool, you know, maybe it wasn't his fault or whatever. He might set on a path and figure, you know what, I put myself out there, I gave it my all, this woman, you know, shitted on me or whatever the case may be. Now I'm going to do me, and I'm not going to show anybody my heart. But on the flip side, I'm going to make them all think that this is what they want. And he's a hurt person that's hurting people, and in the process, he thinks he's just having fun. When in the process, he's kind of leaving a wake of destruction. And women at the same time, too. A woman comes out of a relationship, she's been damaged, she's not feeling good, and she's like, you know, screw these dudes. You know, I'm getting them for everything they might offer. Oh, you're offering money? I got that. You're offering time? I got that. I mean, and they just picking it up along the way, and every single time somebody comes across and they're feeling it, she doesn't care about what they're feeling, and she's going to feed into their ego. Oh, you feeling me? Yeah, I'm feeling you too. So when you paying for dinner again? So when you, you know, and everybody's getting played in the process, but those who hurt people are out there just hurting people. And you never know. Like, to me, that's one of the scariest things, is to come up against that person that's damaged good, and they haven't just got back to themselves yet.
And you know what? And that's exactly it. And that's why I said, you know, it has to be, you know, that level of unforgiveness and bitterness that they've let, you know, take root inside of them. Because when you shut down, you know, you don't care, like you said. And I think that's one of the most powerful signs right there, is that when you get into these deep conversations with this person, and they're not affected by you pulling away, and they don't, you know, there's no sort of, you know, they're not trying to hold on to you in the sense of, you're like, okay, you know, I don't want to do this anymore because I don't feel, you know, A, B, C, D. And they're like, that's fine, you know, go ahead and move on, because they're not emotionally invested in you. And
exactly.
I think that you have to have that communication to really discover if a person is emotionally invested, because if they're not invested in you, they don't care if you're there one day and gone the next. And they're very, you know, they're basically, oh, okay. You know, they're not going to put the energy in to have those type of conversations with you. And I think, you know, if you're dealing with someone who won't go deep with you, who doesn't want to put the energy to really, you know, find out who you are. They want to stay on the surface, or the communication is just about sex.
Yeah, bingo.
You know, if you're dealing with somebody that all they want to do is talking about, you know, this is what I want to do to you, baby, you know, when I get you alone. And there's nothing about what do you see your life purpose as, what do you see yourself in? You know, they're not trying to know who you are. It's all on the surface. You really have to pump the brakes and say, okay, what am I falling for right here? Because
you're falling for that person. But that person is, and I'm going to take this from a friend of mine, Angela Marshall. I'm going to have to give her credit for this one. You're falling for a shell. Like, people are walking around, and everything on the outer looks good, but when you ask them something deep, or to just tell me who you are. Tell me what you're about. And they can't tell you anything. It's like they just stump right there in the moment, like, oh, wait a minute, what? Like that,
they don't want you to know who they are.
You're asking me a question that requires me to look inward, be transparent, and perhaps be a little introspective, critical, or objective upon myself. And a person doesn't want to do that if they haven't found themselves or if they're in the middle of finding themselves, you know. And with men and women, I mean, damn, you'll definitely be damned if you deal with somebody who hasn't. Now, we're always searching for self. It never ends. For the rest of our lives, we'll be learning about ourselves. However, when a person doesn't have any sort of answer for that, I don't know. I don't know if you want to deal with that.
I wouldn't recommend that anyone would go to the next level or the next step with anybody who is not willing to go deep with them. You know, so reiterating that is what you know, we're both definitely on the same page with that. And it's not just them not knowing themselves, it's them not having a desire for you to know who they truly are.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And when that desire is not there, when they're not trying to bring you into their world, you know, you have to really take a step back and say this person is really not, you know, they're not trying to establish anything of any validity with you or any truth with you. So
yeah, there's no,
you know, you have to, No, and that's why, you know, like you said, you know, those you know, switch up those 2 a.m. conversations that you're having about sex and switch it up on them and get deep with them and see how interested they are. You know, if you say, you know what, I don't want to talk about sex right now, let's talk about some deep, you know, let me get to know you. And if they, you know, fall asleep and the conversation dies right then, I'm like, okay, enough of that. So tell me this, Manuel. And tell the listeners, how can a person safeguard themselves from these type of emotional predators, these type of people who are purposely out there walking around in bitterness, walking around
and just hurt, you have no desire to
connect on a deep level with anyone. How do you safeguard yourself?
Challenge them. Like the moment, listen, challenge them. Because typically, a player, if he's all about his numbers, if he's all about conquest, they're going to take the weakest route possible. They're not going to – listen, when the British were conquering the world, they didn't run up against the other reigning empires. They went to the weakest ones. They went to the ones that had a lot of resources but weak defenses. If you as a woman or a man have a strong defense, and I'm not saying emotional walls, I'm just saying, if they won, like you said, ask those questions. Ask those critical questions about self, about depth, about anything. The minute a dude sees that, they're like, okay, I see where she's going. I'm just going to walk the other way. Because they know that it's going to take too much work. And a player, he's not about trying to – he ain't putting in work. Like that's the number one line from dudes. We will sit there and have conversations amongst each other, and we'll be talking about something X, Y, Z about a female – and when it's nothing more than just a screw, we'll sit there, we can get up in conversation with each other. We can be like, man, yeah, I see that over there, but that's too much work.
So if it's too much work,
so that's what you have to be as a man and a woman. Be somebody who's going to be a lot of work. So even if you do get played, he at least has to jump through some hoops. He can just walk through the door.
Hold on, Mama. That was. We had to give you an applause for that because that was good.
I'm just saying, real talk. If he gonna play you, he had to work for it. He had to really pull the wool over your eyes. Like, you gotta be committed. I'm talking about you went as far as meeting his mama and his pastor, and he plays you. You did damn good. That means he was elaborate. Like, that means he was putting in a lot of work.
But you know what? In a man. You know, and I tell women all the time, a man that wants you, you don't have to question it. If he truly wants you, if he truly wants to establish a relationship with you, there's no room for any questions. You're not wondering, oh, does he want me? Does he like me? Because the men, which, you know, I love men and the way that they're wired, they will work for what they truly want, not just in relationships, but in life in general. And You don't ever have to, you don't have to guess about that. And I think a lot of, I think a lot of people, not just women, but men as well, that are not secure in themselves and who have been broken in relationships will oftentimes be very susceptible to people that have that particular type of characteristics. Being so hungry to have someone desire you, being so hungry to be wanted, you oftentimes cling to whatever comes to you. And
yeah, exactly.
You have to know that no matter how bad the last person treated you or how bad someone hurt you in the past, you deserve to be loved in the right way, in a healthy way. You deserve to be treated the very best and reciprocate that as well. So it really is, you know, that double-edged sword. You know, we have to work on our own insecurities and build ourselves up, build our own self-esteem up, as well as work on attracting that type of person. So it goes both ways.
I think one thing that will save all people from ending up being played too much, because, I mean, it's accept this one fact. We are all susceptible. Nobody, like, there's not a person on this planet that's immune to getting played, period, point blank. I don't care who you are, what you have in life, everybody can fall victim to it. Men, women, stature, money, popularity, fame, it doesn't matter. Everybody can fall victim to something that just appears to be everything that it's not, you know. So everybody has to get that out of the way, because those that think that they can't fall victim, it's somebody out there for you. I guarantee you. I mean, I'll be honest. I've come across I've come across women that I felt might have been just a little bit too high up on a perch, and I just thought to myself, ooh, if I was a different kind of dude, I'd like to make an example out of her, because she's a little too high up on herself, you know.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about someone who carries themselves in a conceited way that you wanted to kind of pull them off? They thought they was too much. Because recognizing, whether spiritually or in the carnal sense, recognizing susceptibility to things doesn't mean that you walk around.
Let me
finish what I'm saying. Doesn't mean that you have this sense that, you know, oh, I'm above this, but you do have to walk in a strength and an inner strength and an inner security that you're not attracting certain things. Because, of course, if we make a blanket statement, we're all susceptible to do anything. Sin is sin and will, you know, capture, encapsulate anyone if you're open to it. But the whole thing is don't be so open to certain elements and to certain things. But back to that, because, Manuel, you're just bad. Was she... you're just wrong for that. So was she like just like walking like she was just the gift to all men?
No.
And you wanted to, what was it? Explain that.
Yeah, there you go. It's the ones that it's the ones that do think that are the gift to all men, or that they can't be had. That's it more than anything else. The ones that think that they can't be had, because I can be had. Anybody can get caught slipping. But there's always that one person that just, they know everything. They got it all figured out. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell do you got it all figured out? Nobody has it all figured out. So
nobody.
So all it takes is that one person that's coming along that has just enough patience to show you don't have it all figured out. So, and that's
but
it.
You know, a lot of women that walk around like that and act like that, it's really their safeguard. It's really, you know, they've gone through some stuff and they're trying to, you know, there's wrong ways and there's right ways to be protective of your heart. And unfortunately, we fumble through them thinking, okay, this one works, and it, you know, and then there's some females and there's some men who just think that they were dipped in platinum and they're not, and it's just kind of like, oh, stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just want to be like, that's the most unattractive thing is to be, I abhor conceited people because I'm just like, oh, like that. I mean, humility to me is one of the sexiest things a man can put on. Like a man who has it together and who has a beautiful soul, but who's humble. Oh my, oh, that's
oh,
that's
what were you doing over there? What was that breathing? What was that? The hell was that?
You got
a little too excited over there. You went from it got kind of deep over there. Like you had that candlewood over there. You got candlewood, Miguel. I'm just saying.
Manuel, I did not have any cap, but you know what? That's what humility does. It's beautiful to me. I think it's the most endearing quality that anyone, male or female, can have. And I find women beautiful that are clothed in that, and men
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
It is. It's a beautiful quality. And when it has to be authentic. You can't walk around saying, oh, I'm humble. It's nothing that has to be spoken. It's just a way.
Exactly.
Yes. And when someone that has it together and who has a beautiful soul and you're in their presence and they have that humility, it's the biggest drawing quality. And this is off topic, but you know, you ever hear somebody say, and I hate when people do this because it's just so ugly, but they're like, oh, how did she get him? You know, or how did he get her? He don't even look like anything, and you know, and all they're looking at is the aesthetics. But it's like the what's on the inside of the person transcends what you
Absolutely.
Look like, and that's why women and men that are beautifully on the outside get dogged a lot of times when
Absolutely.
They see,
yes, they do.
You know, when they think that that's all that it takes. It's like if I look good, then I'm good. But you're not good, baby. You gotta work on that inside, and so. Yeah, I love that. Anyway, whatever. Raise the roof for the humble people.
I remember, I was saying this. The last time I felt like I got played, like really, really played, let me think.
Did you get played, Manuel?
Hell yeah. I mean, look.
You were slipping. What happened?
Twice in my life I've been played, I know.
Okay, only twice?
Twice.
Because it's
twice that
a
I
good?
Well,
oh,
well,
okay.
Twice that I was absolutely aware of. And I would say there's a third one, and I say that's like 2A. And the reason I say that is because, man, we were young. We were both kind of playing each other. We were surface people. Like, I mean, what was I? I was like 16. She might have been like 15, 14. And so all it was, you know, good-looking girl, good-looking guy. We just, you know, we paired up. But we knew good and well at the end of the day that she had to be kicking it with somebody else in the hood, and I had to be kicking it with somebody else in the hood. So I was really young then.
Yeah, you were a baby.
Before, I was a young buck. But we kind of knew, but we both kind of – it was funny because it was like game, peep, game, bit time, because anytime I had something slick to say, she had something slick to say. And so it's like we could never catch each other. But we always kind of were looking at each other like, you getting away with something. And I was really young back then.
Both of y'all needed to get a whooping is what you needed.
No, I mean, we were too wet behind the ears. You know what I'm saying? You know, back then,
oh,
you know, sex wasn't involved.
I know, I was too.
Young little players. Just young little players, you know.
Right.
Another time, I wouldn't say this was played. I would say this was kind of like being heartbroken a little bit. I think I was, I won't say the name. I won't say the name because she's a really dear friend of mine. But coming from elementary school to high school, and back then elementary school from high school was, there was no middle school. So elementary school was in seventh to eighth grade. It was seventh grade. So elementary went to seventh grade. High school started in eighth. So seventh grade comes around. I got this girlfriend, right? And everything's all lovely. Summer rolls around. You know, everything's all good. I'm thinking we're going to just pick back up in the school year where everything lets off, right? Get to the school year, and then all the new dudes show up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm the old dude. So it's all the new dudes in high school. And so I'm like, hey, what's up? Back then, I'm like 5'3", 95 pounds, soaking wet. You know, it's just terrible. I'm a little dude. Everybody else is tall. And I just got pushed to the left. I felt some kind of way about that. I'll be honest. I felt some kind of way about that back then. I don't know if that was played. I just got curved really bad, but I felt played because I felt like that was supposed to be my spot when the year came around, and it wasn't.
Wait a minute, Manuel. So both of those instances were when you were young. Mm-hmm. So you haven't.
Adolescent. So no, okay. I'm gonna give you my adult scenario.
Give me the adult stuff, cause yeah. I want to know after you went through puberty, cause that before we go, you know, when we're going through puberty and all that teenage stuff, that you know, we're
okay,
all.
Okay. In the adult scenario, it was really more so karma. It was kind of what I put out. It kind of came back. So I was seeing somebody. We were doing our thing. Everything was cool. We kind of stopped seeing each other. I started seeing somebody else, and I tried to play the game. So I played the game. And so then eventually I was ready to get back with or see another woman, you know, on an exclusive level. By this time, she started seeing somebody else. So then the roles reversed. She played the game. Now, the difference was when I was playing the game, I kind of put it out there. I'm like, look, I'm kind of in between you and her, blah, 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 and you can deal with it how you want to deal with it. So I kind of gave the option. So I felt like since I gave the option that I was okay, I was in the clear. But when time came back around, she didn't necessarily give me the option. She was just kind of rolling with it. She was just like, you know, and I found out later, oh, you seeing me and this dude. You know, so it felt a certain kind of way. I felt played. Granted, I couldn't really, because I kind of played her first, but when it came back around full circle, it kind of sucked, and I felt like a sucker. You know what I'm saying? When you feel like a sucker, you feel like a sucker. It doesn't matter whether you did something or whether it's karma or whatever. Emotion are emotions. When you feel hurt, when you feel damaged, when you feel suckered at the end of the day. So it came full circle. I can admit that.
So, okay, well, I'm sorry you went through that.
Oh, well, no, you're not. I just said it came full circle. You don't give a damn. You're like, good.
No.
That's what your player ass did. That's what you're saying right now. You can be honest.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sort of trying, you know, for the people who just got into it and they didn't deserve to be played like that because they went into it with, you know, their heart open to someone and you know, got hurt. And I think that, to me, that's just, if you're playing a game with somebody and then it kind of, you know, gets thrown back in your face, it's like, you kind of set yourself up for that. But for the people who, you know, you meet someone, you're attracted to them, you start, you know, thinking, oh, this person, you know, I could have a relationship with them, and you're being completely open, and then come to find out, you discover that this person hasn't been, you know, right with you. That, to me, is like, that's messed up.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. And it was funny because a buddy of mine that I work with, we were talking about the same subject matter, and he was saying that he had a friend of his that lived his life looking out of his window. Looking out of his window because he had told so many women over time that you were it, you were going to be this woman, and then he ends up dropping them, or they end up finding out that he's playing games. So he was worried about his car getting trashed, his house getting trashed, women popping up. Is it worth it? Like, realistically, is it really worth it?
I don't think it's worth it. Yeah, but I think it's not worth it because of him worried about his monetary possessions. I think it's not worth it to destroy someone's faith in humanity and destroy people's trust and love. That, to me, is a bigger offense than your car getting keyed because you pulled, you know, first you made a woman feel like she was your number one, or you made this man feel like he was going to be it, and you had no intention of you know, doing them right. And it's a deep thing when someone gives you their heart and entrusts their heart to you. And more people should be cognizant of that, you know, the heart is, although it's a very strong thing, it's also very fragile. And if you have no intention of of taking care of someone's heart, don't open it. You know, don't start manipulating that person and making them feel like they can trust you with their most prized possession when you know good and well that you can't. So,
have you ever played somebody?
Have I ever? I have no. And you know what? No. And I'm gonna tell you, no, and I'm not that great of a person either. So, I've done, you know, my past mistakes are horrible, but I haven't done everything that I could have done. But no, one thing that I feel strongly about is just, you know, love. I guess I'm you know, kind of mushy like that. If I don't want you, I'm not gonna make you think I want you. And if you feel like I want you, it's because I genuinely want you. And I think that's...
Well, we do have one thing, right? Okay, everybody knows that the game has changed a little bit. We have online dating, we have texting, we have email. Communication is on a whole other level, right?
Yeah.
So, man, woman, they say that they aspire to be in a relationship.
Right.
Both parties aspire to be in a relationship. And most people aspire to be in fulfilling relationships. This is the problem with dating and everything else. Two people meet, they go out, and they have a good time, and they know that they're both aspiring to be in relationships. It's easy for one or both parties to assume that, well, we're both aspiring for this, we're having a good time, the feeling should be mutual that we both want this to work out between one another. Whereas the man, he might see some red flags and be like, this ain't the relationship type for me. And the woman, she might see some red flags like, yeah, he got a lot going on. I'm not really thinking about moving past a certain level. So, but let's just say everything else is good and they continue hanging out, they continue kicking it or whatever. And then at some point the question gets asked, hey, where is this going? And then one person is honest and says, you know what? I don't know. I can't really see much beyond what this is, but I'm enjoying it. Somebody feels played because of the aspirations that the other person has expressed from day one.
Well,
now,
see, that's not being played, though. That's someone who claims that they want honesty from another person and who actually can't take it. If someone is upfront with you and they say, you know what, exactly. So those are two different things, and that's that person's issue. If you say that you're one of these people, which we all love to say, I want the truth, give me the truth, don't lie to me, I'd rather you tell me the truth.
Then you need to ask, do you see this with me?
Right.
Like,
you need to be able to accept the truth and the answer. If you tell me, you know, like, Manuel, look, if we was getting down, and which that would never happen.
Wait, what?
<'Cause> I'm saying, listen, and I'm like,
you boot up. That's you boot up. Okay.
Listen, and I'm saying, I'm like, tell me the truth. Do you see a future with me? Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, baby, I really don't. I can't get mad at you because you didn't play me. You just, you know, because sometimes, like you said, you're getting to know someone and you start seeing stuff that you see is not conducive with you. That's just a part of the process. That's not, you're not playing me, though. Playing me is you acting like you want something with me and you have have no emotional connection with me. You're just stringing me along. You're getting some sex. You're getting whatever you're getting out of it. You know, I might just be your late night chat buddy. You know, the person, that you chat up. You know,
It's called a jump off. I need you to get on. With that. I need you to get with the lingo. It's a jump off. You might be the jump off.
I don't know. I don't want to get with some certain lingos. That's no. But you know, if that's what the intent is, what makes it what it is. So, you know, if you're just being honest with a person, that's not a negative.
I've been in different situations. I've been in situations where, like I said, I've been played because it was a result of me setting myself up. I've been in situations where I was like demoted. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen it all, like, for real. Like,
I don't think you've really actually been played, Manuel.
Shit. Well, okay.
I think you're just trying to get the listener to be sympathetic.
Don't sympathize for me. But no, I have.
They're not sympathizing with you.
I will tell them, like, nah, I ain't the one to sympathize for. But everything that I have been on the if I've received it on the bad end, I know I can be straight up honest and say, you know what? I can look down my line of action and say I did something that led to that becoming what it was. However, it still hurts at the end of the day. Listen, if I slap the hell out of you, right, and then you come back to me, and then you come back to me later and slap the hell out of me,
But for real,
if you slap somebody on Monday and they come and slap you on Thursday and you're not looking for that slap, you don't see it coming, you ain't break for it, but you get slapped, are you telling me that when that slap comes, you're going to be sitting there thinking about, oh, yeah, I slapped her on Monday and it kind of hurt her, so when she slapped me on Thursday, oh, yeah, I remember what it might have felt. No, you feel like you just been slapped and it hurts. So,
well,
even
right.
if
it's
coming full circle, it sucks.
Yeah, I can understand that. That, you know, I don't want to belittle your pain. I know that you said it so belittling.
I don't want to belittle your pain.
I love you, Manuel. I know that your pain, that when your ego got hit, that it was hurtful.
You ain't shit. The ego took a hit.
The ego could hurt a lot too. But I guess because we're running out of time, but I guess the biggest thing is that hopefully somebody, and I'm being serious though, if you are a player and you would like help with your issue, I want you to go to our open forum page, Urban Conversation Radio, and inbox my co-host, Manuel Hill. He's going to He's going to give you some help to try to pull you out of that. Don't get in my inbox. I want you to specifically inbox Manuel, because we want you to stop playing these games with people, because it's just not a good thing.
FYI, I don't want no male players. I don't want no male players in my inbox. Only female players. I'll fix the female players. All the male players, stay the hell out of my inbox, please. Some of these male players, they got sexy ass, no shirt, damn profile pics. Like, what am I gonna do with that? Like, bro, really?
You just going all the way to the left. But let me say this, men, when you guys, I don't know if selfies is a good thing for men.
Listen, men, don't take selfies. Don't. It is against you. Listen, we only have two selfies as men that we can take away. You got the look away selfie, and then you got the absolute selfie. But it can't be too many. Men all out two selfies every 30 days of their life. Like, that's it. Don't do no more.
Okay, men, there's some, you know, you guys could say take some selfies. But here, I'm going to tell you this. I know that you guys think that it's hot and it's sexy, and I know that there's females that probably gas you up and make you think that it is. Those females have issues, because it is the creepiest thing when you guys take these selfies with no shirt and you have these when you got those weird, like, pedophile expressions of you.
Men, I want to be honest with men, like, for real, and I say this all the time, men, we cannot be sexy in a picture. We cannot all of a sudden become sexy. That means if a woman says, hey, take a sexy pic right now, any guy who takes that pic your fails, because you can't become sexy in a moment. Women, they can kind of become sexy in a moment. They groom to become. You know what you're going to do? You're going to poke your lips out? You're going to raise the eyebrow? Like, what you going to do? You're going to lean your head to the left? You're going to take a picture from your good side? No, stop. You cannot become sexy in a moment. But a woman, they can become sexy in 2 seconds. They can lean, they can look, they can wink.
You know what?
Yeah,
you know what? That is so true, because you got, it's like the fact that you're trying, it actually.
Yeah, and there you go.
And men, you're just sexy just without doing
all
this.
Don't do nothing.
So let, you know, to all of our male listeners who have a profile picture and you look like a stalker or a pedophile, we want to encourage you tonight to take that picture. We want you to change that profile picture. We want you to put your clothes on.
You know what's sexy, nigga? Take a picture with you and your kid. Like, for real. Like put your kid on your shoulders, and y'all need to be at Six Flags, and then that's your sexy pic right there. Ain't nothing sexier than a man and his kid. How about that? Look sexy doing that. Quick down.
That's a beautiful thing. Or just take a picture.
Borrow a kid.
Keep your clothes on and stop with the shirtless pictures. That's really gross and disturbing. So if you need further advice on taking a good selfie, for our male listeners, please, again, inbox my co-host.
Don't inbox me. No, I don't take selfies.
I want you guys to blow his inbox up. As a matter of fact, send him some of the selfies that you've taken and ask his advice. So some of those selfies, and then, you know, the ones where you oiled down real good with the oil. I'm trying to help my brothers out, because I love you and you guys. I just want you to stop looking like perverts on your profile pictures.
They're players. They're some players. And players, you know what I'm saying, they ain't thinking about all that. They're like, you know what, I'm going to show my abs, I'm going to show my pecs, I'm going to show my waves, you know what I'm saying, my clean haircut. Come on, bro.
It's not working, guys. And I think a lot, you know, the women who are telling you that it's working, you might want to be careful with that. So, but Manuel, I thank you for being on tonight. We missed you this past week or so.
Yes, indeed.
And I want you to make. You guys, make sure you keep the conversation going. If you have questions or comments, Manuel, you're going to go on our open forum page and interact with our listeners for a little bit tonight, right?
Absolutely. I will do.
All right. Well, thank you. Say goodnight to Manuel.
All right. Have a good night, y'all. I'm not the player. I'm just advisor.
He's a beautiful person. But thank you again to all of our listeners. Make sure, if you haven't already, go to Facebook and add us on our open forum page, Urban Conversation Radio, as well as add us and follow us on Blog Talk Radio. I appreciate you listening. Make sure that you keep on spreading the word and keep joining the conversation with Urban Conversation. Have a good evening. Bye.